Thank you for joining us for our third quarter 2024 results call. As usual, our Chief Executive Officer, Christian Sewing, will speak first, followed by our Chief Financial Officer, James von Moltke. The presentation, as always, is available to download on the Investor Relations section of our website, db.com. Before we get started, let me just remind you that the presentation contains forward-looking statements which may not develop as we currently expect. We therefore ask you to take notice of the precautionary warning at the end of our materials. With that, let me hand over to Christian.
Thank you, Ioana, and a warm welcome from me. I'm delighted to be discussing our third quarter and nine-month results with you today. These show our ongoing strong operating performance, further reinforcing our confidence in our 2024 ambitions and 2025 financial targets. I'm particularly pleased that our continued intense client engagement has supported momentum in all businesses. This enabled us to generate revenues of 22.9 billion euros in the first 9 months, putting us well on track towards our goal of 30 billion euros for the year. We recorded the third successive quarter of adjusted costs at 5 billion euro, in line with our 2024 guidance, underpinning our forward trajectory. We are pleased with the settlements we achieved in August and September in the Postbank takeover litigation matter, equivalent to around 60% of the total claims by value. This resulted in a litigation release that supported our reported pre-tax profit of 2.3 billion euros, up over 500 million euros year on year, and our reported post-tax return on tangible equity of 10.2% in the third quarter. For the first 9 months, our reported ROTE stood at 6%. Excluding the Postbank takeover litigation-related impact, ROTE was 7.8%, up from 7% in the prior year period. Asset quality remains stable, despite the sequential increase in our provision for credit losses, which James will go through in more detail. Importantly, we expect provisions to reduce towards more normalized levels going forward, particularly in expectation of improvements in commercial real estate over the next quarters. Our CET1 ratio of 13.8% reflects our strong organic capital generation. This puts us on a clear path to distribute capital to our shareholders as planned, and we have now sought authorization from the ECB for our next share buyback. Let me now discuss in more detail some of the drivers of our 9 month results on slide 3. Disciplined execution of our global house bank strategy is driving steadily improving performance and operating leverage. Pre-provision profit grew by 17% year-on-year to 7 billion euros in the first 9 months, with operating leverage of 5%, both excluding the Postbank takeover litigation-related impact. Growth was driven by both revenue momentum and cost discipline. 9 months revenues grew 3% year-on-year, with around 75% of revenues coming from more predictable income streams. Reported non-interest revenues were up 14% year-on-year, with continued strong growth in commissions and fee income of 9%. This demonstrates that our strategy of growing our capital-light business is paying off. At the same time, net interest income in our key banking book segments remained stable and better than anticipated at the beginning of the year. We remain focused on expense discipline, keeping our adjusted cost to 15.1 billion euros or 5 billion per quarter, as we continue to offset inflation while allowing for investments by delivering savings from our operational efficiency program. Our cost-income ratio, excluding Postbank litigation-related impacts, improved to 69% from 73% year-on-year. Now let's look at the franchise achievements across our business on slide 4. The corporate bank increased the number of deals won with multinational clients by 18% compared to the first 9 months of the prior year. We also had strong momentum in commissions and fee income, which grew by 5% across all regions. At the same time, NII remained resilient, supported by continued pricing discipline and deposit growth of 8% year-on-year. In the Investment Bank, we increased activity so far this year with our priority institutional clients by 11%, demonstrating the ongoing commitment and focus of our business and coverage teams in supporting our clients. 9 months revenues in fixed income and currencies were up 5% year-on-year, supported by a 5% increase in financing revenues, even compared to a strong prior year. Looking at the third quarter, FIC demonstrated a strong performance and was up by 11% year-on-year. Origination and advisory grew revenues by 58% and increased its global market share year-to-date compared to the full year 2023, while we maintained our number one ranking in our home market. The private bank sees further momentum with 27 billion euros of net inflows and grew non-interest revenues by 5% year-on-year, driven by higher margin products and volumes across both client segments. The division continues to transform its personal banking unit with around 50 branch closures year-to-date and more to come. The business also announced a further optimization of our Deutsche Bank branch network in the quarter, which will start next year. Asset management grew assets under management by 67 billion euros year to date to 963 billion euros. This was boosted by continued strong inflows into our diverse product suite, which should support future revenues. The group also made progress on its sustainability strategy, including ESG rating upgrades. In October, S&P's corporate sustainability assessment was upgraded to 66 and is now within the top decile of the financial industry. The MSCI rating was upgraded to AA from single A. Let me turn to our progress against our strategic objectives on slide 5. Our third quarter results demonstrate our continued progress across all three pillars of our Global Hausbank strategy. Starting with revenue growth, our well-diversified and complementary business mix delivered a compound annual growth rate of 5.6% since 2021, in line with our upgraded target range, and we expect it to increase from here. For the remainder of the year, we anticipate continued momentum in commissions and fee income, driven by ongoing high client engagement and our franchise strengths, while NII remains stable. This gives us full confidence in reaching our revenue ambition of 30 billion euros for the full year 2024, providing a strong step off into 2025. Moving to costs, we continue to deliver on our operational efficiency program, having completed measures with delivered or expected gross savings of 1.7 billion euros, almost 70% of our target, with around 1.5 billion euros in savings already realized. We have made further progress on workforce reductions, including 600 FTEs in the third quarter, bringing the total number to more than 90% of the 2024 year-end target. The achieved progress to date and efficiencies still in the pipeline will support our adjusted cost run rate for the remainder of 2024 and further reductions in 2025 to meet our objective of around 20 billion euros in non-interest expenses, while continuing to invest in business growth, technology, and controls. Lastly, we delivered a further benefit of 3 billion euros of RWA equivalent reductions in the third quarter, driven by data and process improvements. This brings total RWA equivalent reductions from capital efficiency measures to 22 billion euros, which puts us inside of our end 2025 target range of 20 to 30 billion euros more than 1 year early. We expect to achieve further reductions from securitizations as well as data and process enhancements, and we continue to work on finding further incremental optimization opportunities to exceed our target. Let me conclude with a few words on our strategy on slide six. Our operating performance in the first 9 months shows that our Global Hausbank strategy positions us well to serve our clients' needs and continues to deliver growth and profitability. We have firm confidence in reaching a ROTE of at least 10% next year. To be clear, our focus remains on us, our strategy, and financial targets, unlocking further value for shareholders through the measures we have underway. Looking at revenues into 2025, we expect continued franchise momentum and our capital-light businesses to drive further growth, harvesting investments we have made and are still making. In the Corporate Bank, we expect further growth in commissions and fee income from our investments in our fee-based institutional business, as well as our payment platforms. FIC is expected to show further improvements into next year, benefiting from our investments into the franchise in both existing and adjacent businesses, as well as continued strength in financing. In O&A, we have a clear value proposition to our clients, supported by our investments, which should help us to further increase our market share in what we expect to be a growing market environment, with further benefit of new hires still to come. At the same time, the Private Bank anticipates growing non-interest income, mainly from investment products, predominantly in wealth management and private banking, further supported by NII. Within our asset management business, we expect to benefit from higher assets under management levels this year, which should lead to an increase in management fees in 2025. Additionally, we anticipate positive flows into the alternatives business and continued growth in passive, including Xtrackers. These drivers underline our confidence in achieving our revenue goal of 32 billion euros in 2025. Turning to costs, we have taken decisive action to put legacy items behind us, substantially reducing our risk profile and driving restructuring measures in order to clear the path to 2025, and we continue to focus on controls to future-proof the franchise, which will help us reduce non-operating costs. The delivery of operational efficiencies is expected to further reduce adjusted costs over the coming quarters. Together, we are confident these measures will bring us on a path to around 20 billion euros of non-interest expenses in 2025, which will also support delivery of robust operating leverage. We expect credit costs to reduce towards more normalized levels in 2025, largely driven by the expected continuation of the positive development of CRE provisions and the benefits of interest rate reductions flowing through into the economy, providing us with a much cleaner slate into 2025. We remain dedicated to creating values for our shareholders and confident that with achieving our financial targets, we can also maintain our trajectory to increase distributions beyond our original goal of 8 billion euros in respect of the financial years 2021 to 2025. Given this continued progress, we have now sought authorization from the ECB for our next share buyback. To sum up, we remain focused on our Global Hausbank strategy, and with our business momentum and all the progress made, we have clear line of sight on our target of a ROTE of greater than 10% for 2025. With that, let me hand over to James.
Thank you, Christian, and good morning. As usual, let me start with a few key performance indicators on slide 8 and place them in the context of our 2025 targets. As Christian mentioned before, we are on track towards our objectives, and we expect further improvements over the coming quarters. Our liquidity metrics also remain strong. Liquidity coverage ratio was 135%, above our target of around 130%, and the net stable funding ratio was 122%. In short, our performance in the period reaffirms our franchise strength and our confidence in reaching the 2025 targets. With that, let me turn to the third quarter highlights on slide 9. Group revenues were 7.5 billion euros, up 5% on the prior year quarter. Non-interest expenses were 4.7 billion euros, down 8%, benefiting from a partial release of the Postbank takeover litigation provision following the settlements in the third quarter. A provision of 547 million euros remains in place for the outstanding plaintiff claims. The settlements achieved in August and September enabled us to release around 440 million euros of Postbank-related provisions in the quarter, which were partially offset by charges of around 90 million euros related to other legacy litigation items. Non-operating costs were positive 302 million euros in the quarter, including a net litigation release of 344 million euros and restructuring and severance charges of 42 million euros. We generated a profit before tax of 2.3 billion euros, up 31%, and a net profit of 1.7 billion euros, up 39% to the prior year quarter. Our tax rate in the quarter of 26% was impacted by the aforementioned litigation effects. In the third quarter, diluted earnings per share was 0.81, and tangible book value per share was 29.34 euros, up 6% year-on-year. Let me now turn to some of the drivers of these results. We remain well-positioned to continue delivering strong net interest income over the coming years. So let me start with a review of our NII on slide 10. NII across key banking book segments was 3.2 billion euros, and our trajectory continues to outperform our guidance from earlier in the year. Compared to the prior quarter, higher deposit volumes and loan margin expansion offset expected beta convergence in the corporate bank, although reported NII includes lower levels of CLO recoveries than in the prior quarter. Private bank was stable sequentially, reflecting ongoing strength in deposit revenues. Our base case remains that our quarterly NII run rate will continue to be broadly stable, and we reiterate that we expect full-year banking book NII to remain in line with the 13.1 billion euros reported in 2023, despite absorbing a headwind of around 150 million euros versus 2023 from the discontinuation of the minimum reserve remuneration. Our hedging strategy has positioned us well for a declining rate environment, as outlined on page 32 in the appendix. Our hedge portfolio stabilizes our income by extending the tenor of interest rate risk, but it also protects us against a drop in interest rates. And to that end, we have increased the notional of our hedge portfolio over the last 12-18 months in response to the slower-than-expected rise in deposit betas. The weighted average maturity of our hedges is around 5 years. Based on current forward rates, we expect the income from the hedge book to grow by 300 million-400 million euros each year as we roll maturing hedges. As such, we expect the hedge portfolio to provide a long-term tailwind to our revenues at current forward rates. With respect to 2025, more than 90% of the income is locked in with existing positions already. With that, let's turn to adjusted cost development on slide 11. Adjusted costs were 5 billion euros in the quarter, in line with our guidance. Savings from streamlining our IT platform and lower spend for professional services were offset by higher costs for compensation and benefits, which increased by 4% year-on-year. The increase reflected wage growth as expected, higher performance-related compensation, and increases in internal workforce after our targeted investments throughout 2023, partially offset by further workforce optimization. Let's now turn to provision for credit losses on slide 12. As Christian mentioned, I will elaborate on the headwinds which have persisted this year, but let's start with this quarter's provision for credit losses, which was 494 million euros, equivalent to 41 basis points of average loans. Stage 1 and 2 provisions were on a moderate level, as various portfolio effects largely offset increases from softer macroeconomic forecasts and overlay calibrations in the third quarter. Stage 3 provisions increased sequentially to 482 million euros, mainly driven by the private bank, including transitional Postbank integration effects. Provisions in the corporate bank remained stable and included the gross impact from a larger corporate restructuring event, which had already impacted the second quarter. Investment bank provisions were slightly lower sequentially, given the anticipated and substantial improvement in commercial real estate in the quarter, including a negative impact of 23 million euros from the expected CRE loan portfolio sale, which is underway and where we have gained pricing visibility. Let me now take you through some additional detail on our provisions on slide 13. This year, we faced several headwinds which negatively impacted provisions and our full-year guidance, but which we do not expect to persist into 2025 at all or in the same magnitude, depending on the item. First, the transitional effects from the Postbank integration led to longer-than-expected impacts across our internal collection and recovery processes, but we expect these to fade over the coming quarters. Second, we've been dealing with two relatively fast-paced, larger corporate events impacting year-to-date provisions at a level unusual compared to historical standards. However, the pre-tax impact was mitigated by around 70% as these loans benefited from credit concentration hedging. And lastly, our full-year CRE provision run rate has been at a cyclically higher level, but has now substantially declined quarter on quarter as envisaged. We continue to see more signs of stabilization, which supports our confidence in a gradual reduction in the future provisions. In general, we maintain tight underwriting standards and continue to conservatively manage our loan book, which includes managing single-name concentration risks through comprehensive hedging programs, including our recently issued significant risk transfer transactions, which bring the total notional volume of hedges to 41 billion euros. Our regular and comprehensive portfolio reviews, including close assessment of trends at the subsegment level and deeper dives into more vulnerable sectors, show that overall credit quality remains stable. Forward-looking indicators such as rating migration and trends in our non-investment-grade portfolio and watchlist ratios do not suggest a noteworthy deterioration in asset quality. We also see broadly stable developments in our domestic market, as outlined on page 38 of the appendix. Our 220 billion euro German loan book is low risk and well diversified across businesses, and 70% of the portfolio is either collateralized or supported by financial guarantees. We also have more than 12 billion euros in hedges. More than three quarters of the book is in the private bank, of which around 90% consists of low risk German retail mortgages. Our corporate loan book is well diversified and of high quality. Exposure is predominantly to multinational corporates and mid-caps, with almost 70% of loans rated investment grade. Importantly, early warning indicators in Germany remain robust. The number of limits subject to our watch list remains largely unchanged since the end of last year, and we do not observe any significant broad-based rating deterioration across the portfolio. In summary, our portfolio is holding up well, and adjusting our reported gross provisions for offsetting effects from recoveries through hedging, which are captured as revenues, our pro forma year-to-date net provisions would have been around 34 basis points. We continue to expect a sequential reduction in provisions towards more normalized levels as we go into 2025. Before we move to performance in our businesses, let me turn to capital on slide 14. Our third quarter Common Equity Tier 1 ratio came in at 13.8%, 30 basis points higher compared to the previous quarter. The increase was largely driven by CET1 capital, reflecting strong earnings net of deduction and an approximately 790 million euro or 22 basis point positive effect from the adoption of the Article 468 CRR transitional rule for unrealized gains and losses. Risk-weighted assets increased for market risk and credit risk. The credit risk RWA increase was driven by model impacts and business growth, mostly offset by reductions from capital efficiency measures. Lower operational risk RWA were driven by the partial release of the Postbank takeover litigation provision. At the end of the third quarter, our leverage ratio was 4.6%, flat sequentially, as higher leverage exposure driven by securities financing transactions and trading assets offset an increase in Tier 1 capital in line with the CET1 capital development. With that, let's now turn to performance in our businesses, starting with the Corporate Bank on slide 16. Corporate Bank revenues in the third quarter were 1.8 billion euros, essentially flat year on year, as normalization of deposit margins was mostly offset by higher deposit volumes, growth in commissions and fee income, and increased loan NII. The 5% increase in commissions and fee income in the first 9 months reflects the impact of our growth initiatives and shows good progress to offset the normalization of deposit revenues. In the third quarter, commissions and fee income was 4% higher year-on-year, reflecting growth in our institutional client services business and essentially flat compared to the seasonally strong second quarter. Deposits increased by 7 billion euros in the quarter and are 23 billion euros higher year-on-year, driven by higher term and sight deposit across currencies. This growth was partially driven by certain client accommodation activities, which we expect to normalize in the fourth quarter. Provision for credit losses was at 126 million euros, in line with the previous quarter, and increased significantly year-on-year, driven by higher Stage 3 provisions and the non-recurrence of a one-off model chart change in Stage 1 and 2 in the prior year. Higher Stage 3 provisions included a larger corporate restructuring event, which had already impacted the second quarter and was partially covered by risk mitigation measures. Non-interest expenses were slightly higher year-on-year, driven by front office investments and higher internal service cost allocations. This resulted in a post-tax return on equity, tangible equity of 13.1%, and a cost-income ratio of 64%. I'll now turn to the investment bank on slide 17. Revenues for the third quarter were 11% higher year-on-year on a reported basis, driven by improvements across both FIC and O&A. Revenues in fixed income and currencies also increased by 11%, driven by significantly higher credit trading and emerging markets revenues, and supported by stable performance in financing. Credit trading showed strength in the distress business and continued performance in flow, reflecting investments made into the franchise. Emerging markets demonstrated year-on-year growth across regions. Foreign exchange revenues were higher, with continued strength in spot, while revenues and rates were lower in a market environment that continues to be uncertain. Moving to O&A, revenues were significantly higher than in the prior year, with increases across business lines reflecting a growing industry fee pool. Debt origination revenues were higher, driven by increased industry activities across investment grade and leverage debt. Advisory revenues were strong and materially higher year-on-year, with the business benefiting from prior period investments. Non-interest expenses and adjusted costs were both essentially flat year-on-year, with the impact of strategic investments offset by lower infrastructure allocations. Provision for credit losses was 135 million euros, or 52 basis points of average loans. The previous year quarter materially benefited from a provision release from model changes. Turning to the private bank on slide 18, revenues in the quarter were 2.3 billion euros, essentially flat, with non-interest revenue growth of 7% year-on-year. The decline in NII was driven by continued higher funding costs from the impact of minimum reserves, the group neutral impact of certain hedging costs, as well as a negative episodic effect from our lending books, mainly in personal banking. Excluding these effects, third quarter revenues in the private bank would have been up 4% year-on-year. Personal banking continues to record higher deposit revenues in Germany, which were more than offset by the aforementioned impacts weighing on the net interest income. Wealth management and private banking grew revenues by 5% to 1 billion euros, driven by higher lending and investment revenues, partially offset by lower deposit revenues. We continue to see good business momentum, with net inflows into assets under management of 8 billion euros in the quarter, mainly in wealth management and private banking. The private bank continues the transformation of the personal banking business in Germany with around 50 branch closures and further workforce reductions in the first 9 months of the year. Savings have been offset this quarter by higher infrastructure cost allocations and higher compensation expenses, including wage inflation, as well as continued residual expenses for service remediation. As announced in the fourth quarter of 2022, the refinement of our methodology to allocate infrastructure costs resulted in group-neutral, year-on-year expense shifts between the businesses, noticeable this quarter in the private bank. However, even including the allocations, adjusted costs were down 2% in the first 9 months compared to the prior year period. Looking ahead, we foresee the private bank to resume the cost reduction path next quarter, with residual costs for service remediation to continue to taper, and further benefits from ongoing transformation, including from the integration of the IT platform and further branch closures. As I outlined earlier, credit quality of our domestic and international portfolios remains high. Loan loss provisions this quarter still included €40 million of transitional Postbank integration effects, which should cease. Let me continue with asset management on slide 19. My usual reminder, the asset management segments include certain items that are not part of the DWS standalone financials. Profit before tax improved by 54% from the prior year period, reflecting operating leverage from higher revenues and stable non-interest expenses. Revenues increased by 11%, driven by management fees of €626 million. This growth from both active and passive products reflected increasing average assets under management from market development and net inflows. Performance and transaction fees were significantly lower, driven by the impact of real estate valuations and lower transaction volumes in alternatives. Non-interest expenses were 1% lower, while adjusted costs were essentially flat compared to the prior year. Lower non-compensation costs, particularly in IT, offset slightly higher compensation and benefits costs. Assets under management increased by €30 billion to €963 billion, resulting in record high assets under management levels. The increase was attributable to positive market appreciation and net inflows. The positive net inflow trend for passive continues, with a further €10 billion gathered in the quarter, resulting in over €27 billion of net inflows year to date. Active fixed income contributed with net inflows of €10 billion in the quarter, more than offsetting net outflows in active equity, multi-asset, and alternatives products. The cost-income ratio for the quarter declined to 67%, and return on tangible equity was 18.9%, both improving from the third quarter last year. Moving to Corporate and Other on slide 20. Corporate and Other reported a pre-tax profit of €424 million, compared to a pre-tax loss of €202 million in the third quarter of 2023, primarily driven by a provision release in the Postbank takeover litigation matter of around €440 million. Revenues were positive €157 million. This compares to positive €35 million in the prior year quarter. The increase was driven by valuation and timing differences, which were positive €295 million, reflecting partial reversion of prior period losses and impacts from market moves. The pre-tax losses associated with legacy portfolios were €142 million, driven primarily by provisions for legacy litigation items. At the end of the quarter, risk-weighted assets stood at €34 billion, including €13 billion of operational risk RWA. In aggregate, RWAs have reduced by €8 billion year-on-year, mainly reflecting a change in the allocation of operational risk RWA. Leverage exposure was €36 billion at the end of the quarter, slightly lower than the prior year quarter. Finally, let me turn to the group outlook on slide 21. Our ongoing performance demonstrates the successful execution of our strategy. Our revenue trajectory remains on track to €30 billion for this year, on the path to our goal for €32 billion in 2025. Looking at the fourth quarter and starting with the corporate bank, we expect revenues to remain essentially flat sequentially as growth in non-interest revenues compensates for lower deposit income. In the investment bank, we expect a strong performance across our businesses in FIC compared to the fourth quarter of 2023. We are encouraged by our fourth quarter pipeline in origination and advisory, which is higher year on year and suggests positive momentum for the remainder of 2024, both sequentially and year on year. The private bank is expected to grow revenues sequentially, driven by higher NII. Finally, we expect asset management to grow revenues as the momentum of the last 6 months carries over and further accelerates into the fourth quarter, with potential upside from performance fees. We expect to further reduce our adjusted cost run rate closer to €4.9 billion in the coming quarters to allow us to achieve around €20 billion of non-interest expenses in 2025. The reduction should come through a combination of ongoing cost discipline and benefits from our efficiency and tactical measures. We expect reported provision for credit losses for 2024 to land at around €1.8 billion, higher than our prior guidance, but we continue to expect an amelioration will follow next year as the transitory headwinds we called out will pass, leading to a reduction towards more normalized levels. Our robust operating performance in the third quarter, including the ongoing work putting legacy litigation items behind us, helps us lay the foundation for delivery in 2025. Furthermore, our strong capital position gives us a good step off for our 2025 and 2026 distribution objectives. And as Christian said, our full focus remains on the execution of our own strategy. With that, let me hand back to Ioana, and we look forward to your questions.